This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about a great new book recommended very highly. It's practical. It's got very, very specific advice for those of you who are really victims of your own cravings. And you know what to eat. You know how to eat. But there's some problems in implementing that. And that's because, well, food is addictive. Certain foods may hijack your appetite centers. And so this book, the subtitle is Identify Your Craving Type to Activate Your Natural Appetite Control. And Julie Ross is an expert on how to wield diet and nutritional supplements, specifically targeted amino acids, to help assuage mood problems and craving. So, let's get into it. You know, the questionnaire will help guide people to their particular craving type. And so then what do you do? You know, let's say, I mean, you're a type 1, type 2, type 3, type 4, type 5. Each responds well to a certain amino acid protocol, correct?
That's right. And you can take, let's say you have four craving types, four areas of the brain you've identified from the questionnaire are in trouble. You can provide this very simple nutritional supplement, first aid, all at the same time. You could take three amino acids two or three times a day, and they last initially 4 or 5 hours. You can cover your whole day, you know, by taking them two or three times. And over time, over a few months, most typically a year of taking the amino acids in a diminishing fashion, you don't need them anymore. Because presumably, and this is key, once you're free from your cravings for sweets and highly refined starches, you will start eating plenty of the traditional foods that preserved us from the kind of condition we're in now. High protein, saturated fat, plenty of vegetables. If you tolerate them well, whole grains and dairy products and fruit. And you'll be permanently safe from these cravings. But you'll always know that if you have a period where you're sick or highly stressed and you get any return of craving, that you can just feed your brain back into appetite health very quickly with your trusty amino acid supplements.
Well, the book has great detail on this, but let's take us through some of the lock and key models for how amino acids can assuage certain craving types. So, for example, let's start with the serotonin type. Now, the serotonin type is characterized by they have seasonal affective disorder, they eat at night, they have certain characteristics like they have low self-esteem, they're edgy, irritable, tend to be anxious, worried, even subject to panic attacks, according to your questionnaire. So,
that's right.
So obviously, you want to build up serotonin. Some controversy in the nutrition field as to whether it's 5-HT or tryptophan, L-tryptophan, for boosting serotonin production. Do you have any feelings on that?
Yeah, well, these are both types of tryptophan, which is the only nutrient on Earth that the poor serotonin-producing cells can use to make this marvelous inner sunshine neurotransmitter. And it really depends on the person. But what we found is that about 80% of people do equally well on tryptophan or 5-HTP, which is 5-hydroxytryptophan. But people who tend to have serious sleep problems, do better on tryptophan.
That's the one clear distinction. Yeah, my take on it is the 5-HT is a little bit more on the appetite suppressant spectrum, and the tryptophan is a little more sedating. Is that possibly correct?
Well, we haven't actually found there's any difference in the appetite effect, but 5-HTP raises cortisol a little bit, so it is energizing. And so it's not something we'd want to take at night, which is when most people, really crave if they're a type 1.
Okay. Well, that's a good pearl. Is that so 5-HT in the morning, midday, and then for a later night dosing, it might be L-tryptophan. Now, do you have an opinion as to whether to take these with meals, away from meals? Is that of critical importance?
Well, it's always best to take them before you eat. And but we found that as long as they get into the system, you know, at least 15 minutes before somebody eats protein, which would compete with them somewhat, that they're in good shape, because these are pre-digested proteins or amino acids. They break down very, very quickly, go right, you know, out of the capsule, and immediately are sent into the body and the brain. And that's why we get such a quick response to our trials. And I advise people in the book to do their own trials. They can send for a trialing kit, some of all of the amino acids they might need, or they can just get a bottle. They're inexpensive. They're available at all health venues, but also in many supermarkets and pharmacies, drugstores. Just opening a capsule, dissolving it in a little bit of water, and swallowing it, they can expect the fastest absorption. So literally within 5 minutes, they should be actually experiencing this transformation from the low serotonin symptoms into a normal serotonin condition, in which they're optimistic instead of pessimistic, and in which they want lunch instead of a Snickers.
Hmm. You know, I suspect I'm a little different than that. I think I'm a bit of a dopamine junkie, because I get bored easily. If I were drinking caffeinated coffee, which I did in the past, I'd be drinking gallons of it for energy and focus. I'm always looking for, you know, something to energize me and stimulate me. So,
well, you're the fourth interviewer that I've spoken to in the last week who is a type 5 craver who looks for stimulation from their sugar or their caffeine.
Maybe that's why I do these interviews, because these interviews are exciting and stimulating. You know, it's like, what would I do otherwise? I'd be bored and feel flat, and, you know, life wouldn't be worth living. So I put myself on the line and talk to people about interesting subjects on live radio. So I think it probably fits the pattern of, an interviewer to be like that.
It does.
Yeah.
They want to stay up at that level. And if they can't, then they're going to reach for something. The first one was an interviewer in Los Angeles, and he was a Mexican-American, and like so many Mexican-American males, really was addicted to soda, even though he was, intellectually aware of, the dangers of soda in particular, because its fructose content is so high.
Yeah. Well, and these people, we know people in the entertainment industry are highly prone to addiction, drug addiction, sex addiction, maybe even just a sort of a subtype of that. It all goes to the same part of the brain, the part of the brain that responds to dopamine, which is kind of like risk-taking, danger, and so on. So how do I, without, drinking gallons of coffee, snorting a line of Coke,
Well, speaking of Coke, the first time we ever used one of these amino acids, it was with a crack addict.
Sure, yeah.
And definite type 5, looking for, a very pleasurable level of stimulation. And it was destroying him. He was about to lose his job, his family, everything. And we were his last, his last effort to clean up. He'd tried so many other times. But the same principle holds true, you know, with thousands of caffeine addicts that we've worked with since. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the amino acid that provides natural stimulation and motivation and excitement in life also prevents the caffeine withdrawal syndrome that so many people are afraid of.
Oh,
and
okay.
And that amino acid, there are two possibilities. The one that most people respond to best is called tyrosine.
Okay.
And again, it works in minutes, and people who are slumping down in their chair when we first speak to them after the trial of tyrosine are perked up and sitting on the edge of their chair. There's another related amino acid called phenylalanine,
mm-hmm.
L-phenylalanine, which is gentler, but some of it converts into tyrosine. And so the book explains how to choose, you know, which amino acid in almost every case, there are two to choose from, which is nice because we're all individuals and we can respond, you know, differently to different nutritional supplements, including amino acids. So then we have the comfort craver, who is somebody who might recognize themselves because they don't like to discuss painful topics. They cry at commercials.
Mm-hmm.
They have a sort of an unjustified but persistent feeling of loneliness, and you know, they're just not feeling.
That's so not me, but I know a lot
right.
of people and patients like that. Yeah.
And so those people get what they need from what many of them describe as their friends.
It's emotional, you know, rescue from food.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ice cream,
mm-hmm.
Doughy products, particularly
comfort,
you know,
foods.
Cookies.
Mac
yes.
and cheese. Oh, yeah.
Yes. So fortunately, these people who are the type 3 comfort cravers, although they're deficient in endorphin, which is our natural painkiller, and it is absolutely essential at every moment because we may be, you know, confronted by stress and pain, and the endorphins have to respond. It's an instant response, part of the instant response system to any stress. So it's easy to get deficient in it, and you'd think it would be very difficult to replace nutritionally, but it too. The levels of endorphin respond to a very simple amino acid. In this case, it's called D-phenylalanine. Again, people notice the effect within minutes of taking a capsule dissolved in water. And by the way, when I'm talking about dosing, there's a difference. You know, people need to experiment. If they tend to be sensitive, they'll take a half a dose to begin with. If it's a child, they'll take a quarter of a dose. So that, you know, we want to be very careful and give people exactly what they need and not more than they need.
This guideline is, of course, in the book. So yeah, I have a feeling that what you just mentioned, the comfort craver, is that not highly associated with bulimia, people who binge eat, you know, that they're seeking, you know, like an endorphin kind of response from food?
Well, bulimics typically, yes, they're seeking endorphin response, but they're most famous for being low in serotonin.
Okay.
In fact, bulimics in recovery, there have been a number of studies done where they'll give them for a day a shake that has all of the amino acids in it except tryptophan. And within 24 hours, they have relapsed into bulimia. And these are people who, you know, had done a program and were in recovery for months.
Wow.
So we know that they're really depleted in at least two of these five appetite regulating chemicals.
Mm-hmm. Then another category, an important category, is the stressed craver, people who calm themselves by eating. You know, they're anxious, they have stiff muscles, and they show signs of tension.
Hard to get to sleep.
Yeah.
They certainly can't meditate and do a lot of the things that are advocated here in California.
But food chills them out.
But the food chills them out temporarily. And so a lot of times, you know, they're working on the computer all day, late at night, and they've just got something next to them, and they're popping you know, the candy or the popcorn or, you know, the chips.
Actually, that was me in medical school. It's like the textbook on one side and the bowl of like snacks on the other, and it would just keep me going.
One of the most, one of the other most common types of cravers for sweets and starches in particular is the hypoglycemic craver, because when we skip meals, which everybody's doing now, our blood sugar, our glucose levels drop dangerously low, and the body responds with an emergency craving. And we rush to, you know, the closest purveyor and have some sweets or starches and relieve that type of craving right away. And the symptoms are, you start getting headachy, you might even be, you know, you're losing your concentration, you might even be dizzy, you're getting edgy.
Brain dead, yeah.
Yes. You're literally, the brain doesn't have any glucose storage capacity. Yep. So when the blood levels of glucose drop, the brain is the first to send out these emergency signals. Mm-hmm. And
people literally start to tremble. They shake. They start to sweat. You know, they go.
That's right.
It actually mimics in some ways the symptoms of menopause. For some women, they think it's menopause, but actually it's low blood sugar.
Well, so of course the solution is to go and have some more sweets, and this, you know, crave spike and crash goes on all day and evening, and it's, you know, one of the things that keeps us from eating meals, you know, because we're always snacking to try and keep after these blood sugar levels that keep crashing on us. And so, you know, of course, the ideal would be for people to start eating breakfast and having a good lunch and having a dinner relatively early in the evening. But that is not the first thing that's going to happen. People try, as you said at the beginning of the interview, and they just can't do it on their own because their willpower has been damaged as these cravings have been generated. So what we have for them is an amino acid called glutamine.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Which glutamine is an amino acid, but it can be used and is used by the brain and other tissues in the body as an immediate source of fuel.
Okay.
So it's a substitute for glucose. It's like a ketone. People are familiar with that. There are other ways of fueling our cells other than sugar, even natural sugar like glucose. So, and you probably know that glutamine is used for lots of other things like post-surgery preventing muscle loss and the immune system enhancement.
And prevention of chemo side effects. I mean,
that's right.
Benefits, yeah, it's interesting. So, okay, so different strokes for different folks, although some people may, you know, there's probably no pure manifestation of this, that someone is a 100% type 3, for example. It may partake of other of the five different craving types, but at least you can profile yourself using this questionnaire. It's a great technology, and it really gives you a modus operandi to get a handle on craving, which I have to say, this is the most sophisticated system that I've seen for addressing craving. I mean, it's not a one-size-fits-all thing, and that's why some people say, well, I took glutamine, it didn't help. Okay, well, maybe you're not that type of craver, you know, and that's...
That's right. I've trained nutritionists and other health professionals, and, you know, hundreds of them have said, oh, yeah, cravings, I use glutamine.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what is your success rate?
So 20%.
They say, you know, maybe, yeah, right, 20%.
Right.
I said, well, we've got... lots more for you in addition to the glutamine.
So overall, diet is really of great importance here. And you talk about something called the herder-planter plan. So what's that about?
Well, I talk about two plans. And so really the question is, okay, so you use the technology in the book, which is so detailed, you can't miss, and you stop your cravings, and you can take a deep breath, and then you have to decide, what am I going to eat? And as we know, there are hundreds of competing systems, nutritional systems out there, and it's very, very difficult to identify you know, what's the right diet for anybody. So what I recommend is that we look at nutrition in our diet historically, and go back to a diet that has almost 2 million years of good reports when it comes to preventing degenerative disease and unneeded weight gain. So what is that diet? So if our problem started by changing our diet, we reduced our animal protein, particularly red meat, but protein in general, you know, our levels have gone down by a third, which is one of the reasons that the brain is so hungry for amino acids. And there are a number of other changes that we made. We stopped eating saturated fat, which satisfies us so profoundly, so that we don't crave carbohydrates. So prior to 1970, we didn't have those problems because we were eating a traditional diet in a broad sense. You know, worldwide, we have always eaten animal products and plant products in some sort of a blend. We are omnivores, and some people say that means that we can do either one, but my interpretation is that it means that we need both, and certainly what I've seen at our clinic. So there's a tremendous interest in the paleo diet, and I think it's one of the things that's, you know, keeping us alive is our interest in that ancient diet. But what we forget is that not only did we thrive on a hunter-gatherer paleo and up to 12,000 years ago diet, then about 12,000 years ago we began to grow our own crops and herd our own animals. So we were eating similar plant and animal source foods, but we had more control over them. And over time, we've done a tremendous amount of hybridization and so forth. And especially now, some of those foods, grains and milk products, have changed so that they're more difficult for us. But we have to remember that up until 1970, on a diet that included grains and milk products, as well as meats and vegetables and fruit, we throve. Our weight was normal. We had no degenerative disease. So it allows us to be a little more relaxed in terms of what we might eat. And what I recommend to people is that they choose either the paleo-like diet, the hunter-gatherer diet, or the herder-planter diet, which is also supported us well up to 1970. But to tailor the diet to themselves, so we're not only tailoring the aminos to the brain sites that need them, but our bodies all thrive on different kinds of diets. Mm-hmm. And so I give people some direction there, you know, that there are a couple of places they could begin. And then if they still don't feel comfortable, there's another option. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, there are more options. You know, if you decide that the paleo is really for you, but you need more fat, then you can go towards a more ketogenic paleo diet. Mm-hmm. Well, for example.
Now, what if you're a vegan? Is there any hope, or is that a dead end when it comes to food cravings?
Well, the food cravers, you know, that have come to us, you know, in the thousands, you know, there have been many vegans. We're here in California, where veganism thrives, and so you know, all of us have tried it ourselves and watched our clients, and we find it to be the least successful of the diets in terms of protecting them from the cravings for the really toxic foods, mm-hmm. which are the, you know, nutrient void commercial products. And
you call them techno carbs in the book.
I do call them techno carbs.
Yeah.
And really, an awful lot of the vegans who come to us are dependent on them because they don't either have time or they don't know how to prepare really careful vegan cuisine, and so they just go to something that at least doesn't have animal products in it, but is quick and easy.
Chips and pastas and, you know, gluten-free bread and blah blah blah, that stuff. Yeah.
So many times they will say, can I forget about the meat part of your eating recommendations and just get rid of the cravings and then eat a comparable amount of protein but from a vegetarian or plant source? And we say, yes, you could.
That's doable.
Mm-hmm. But most people are significantly overweight when they get to us, and they would have to eat an enormous amount of carbohydrate, for example, in beans, which are a third protein and two-thirds carbohydrate, in order to get the same amount of protein they'd get from a chicken breast, for example.
So that's going to be challenging.
So it is. And so they will typically experiment with eggs and fish and find that they feel significantly better, and we let them decide. And then they can decide whether they want to do what we call a medical experiment, if they're still not feeling highly energized, for example, and see how they would feel after eating red meat. And quite often, even during their first experience eating red meat, they report getting a burst of energy and the ability to focus. And so
protein is key. So to summarize, what's today's Intelligent Medicine take-home message vis-a-vis the craving cure? First of all, get the book. I recommend it very highly. It's going to be a great way to jumpstart your New Year's resolution this year, because it's a very coherent plan. It lays it out. It helps, you know, put you in a category of, you know, which craver are you, and it gives you.
Well, and you can even get something faster by going to the website and taking the questionnaire right there.
Okay, there you go.
And seeing if you identify with these five kinds of craving, and then you'll know that the investment in the book, you know, or the Kindle might really be a good idea for you.
And what's the website, please?
Cravingcure.com.
Okay. Not the craving cure, but just craving.
They can get there either way, but it's shorter to do cravingcure.com.
Okay. Well, you nailed down both domains, so that was smart as part of your campaign for the book. Hey, I wish you all the best, because I've been a great admirer of yours. Your work has influenced me greatly in my working with patients. And now you've brought it forward in a very practical arena. You know, you tackled mood and, you know, anxiety, depression, mental and emotional disorders in the past. Now you're tackling America's biggest problem, which is obesity and the degenerative diseases that it leads to. And the craving cure, I think, is going to be a very plausible pathway for a lot of people to turn things around in 2018. So thank you so
thank
much
you,
for your
Ron.
Contribution. It's my pleasure.
You're welcome.
Thanks for writing it. The book, The Craving Cure, by Julia Ross. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.